In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Another glorious Sunday morning. Seems like just yesterday I was here. You may have noticed I wasn't here last week. It's fall in Valrico. I see the acorns. And my allergies inform me of this. I am safe, I promise. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm safe anyway. I may not inflict any illness, but honestly, I really hope to inflict a little truth. When we look at this reading today, it's unique. It seems like nothing on the surface, almost. You can just kind of breeze right past it. But it's really about unbelief. And Jesus making that point to the religious leaders of the time. Now, they didn't just come to him in the midst of the temple. It helps if you have a little context. Jesus has made this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He has been to the temple and gotten a little upset about what he found, and he has turned over the tables. He's been making a scene for a couple of days in the midst of a large gathering in Jerusalem of Jewish people, and now he's teaching in the temple. And they come to him, and they question his authority. By what authority do you do this? And being a good rabbi, he asks a question back to them. Good season to have a little something in your throat, isn't it? God. So they come to him and they're upset because he's upsetting things. And they're just saying, by what authority are you doing this? And he turns it on them as a good rabbi and he says, well, what do you think about John and the baptism of John? Where do you think it came from? And you heard their argument. They're like, well, if we say this, then we're going to have to believe what John said, which means this is the Messiah. But if we say we didn't believe in what John was doing, that it was just humanity, then all the people around us who perceive him as a prophet are going to see us differently. Thank you. For those at home, that keeps you a little bit out of the camera view. So they're cornered. Which happens for religious leaders. It happens for anybody who is proclaiming a faith in anything, and it happens to Christians today, doesn't it? People will corner you into what you really believe, and you have a moment. Now, often we just respond to that with, well, you can believe whatever you want. Which people can, can't they? Well, as a religious leader, as all of us should be, we actually sometimes have to give an answer, don't we? What do you believe? Jesus was proving their unbelief, and in their concern of upsetting the other people, or their concern of having to admit that they believed what John said, or having to actually believe it, they said, we don't know. Which, by the way, proved Jesus' point of their lack of belief in what was happening right in front of them, and set the tone for the parable that he tells. And the ones that follow too, by the way. And when we hear that parable, what do you think? The man, two sons, went to the first and said, go work in the vineyard. And he says, no, and then later changed his mind, which always makes me smile, because that's the same thing. We do that in our house all the time. Somebody will say, hey, can you do this for me? And they're like, no. And then they immediately start to do whatever it is anyway. But it's kind of a joke. We think it's funny, but, well, Susan doesn't think it's that funny. But most of us think it's funny, which is probably why we do it. But the concept is, this person was told and understood, this is what you should be doing. And they're like, I don't think I want to do that. And they wandered away and then changed their mind and went back to work. And then the other son tells him the same thing. He says, I will go, but never does. And then the big question comes again. But who did the will of the Father? And these same people who didn't know before immediately recognized that the one who went and did the work was the one who did the will of the Father. Amen? The one who went and did the work did the will of the Father. Here's the convicting part, brothers and sisters. Leading the church is a very unique call. I often find myself walking gently and carefully with God's people because I'm called to do that. And hopefully you know that's what I'm doing. And then there's days I feel like I need to just jump up and say, come on already. It seems so clear and so obvious. There are times when I look at what's going on in the world and I wonder, is the church even present in the world today? Do you ever wonder? Is it just me or do you wonder too? See, I can't see your faces that well, so I wonder. I see what's happening and I see the way people are being treated and I see the way that people are behaving and I see the needs of others and I say, is the church even here? See, because the vineyard, brothers and sisters, is here. We have been sent to work in the vineyard. And as we sit in this church and as you're watching online, undoubtedly, when the Father said, will you go work in the vineyard? We said, I will go. I will go. And then we look at the world, the vineyard, and we have to say, where's the church? See, when tragedy strikes, we're there. Natural disasters, we're there. But there's so much going on. I think sometimes, and maybe it's true for you, sometimes I see all that is happening in this world that is not of God, and I'm just overwhelmed. It's too much. Like, what could I possibly do? It's just too much. It's too broken. There's too much need. There's too much hate. I can't overcome it. And although we raised our hand and said, yes, we'll go work in the vineyard. Yes, sir. And then we get to the vineyard and go, whoa, well, wait a minute. I didn't know it was this bad. Yeah, it's funny. He doesn't tell the condition of the vineyard. He says, come, follow me. Puts us to work in the vineyard. Then we show up in the vineyard and find out you can't hardly see the vines. We can barely see the fruit. It's so overrun with weeds. The vineyard's a mess. And then we get together and we decide, well, we're the church. We're going to show up. I'm going to go, Father. And then we all run into different buildings on Sunday morning and pretend like we don't see each other at the Walmart. I almost said the liquor store, but I didn't want to offend anybody who doesn't go there. But the fact of the matter is, we are called to a mess. And what makes it so hard to do it is we ourselves are a mess. Agreed? That's always the big joke, right? Well, you know, I'm not really into organized religion. People say that, and I'm thinking, you clearly have never worked in a church. No slight against our staff. They're pretty organized. The priest, that's another story. The fact of the matter is, just like here, that we're hearing in this story of Jesus with the chief priests and the elders, and then the parable to kind of drive home his point, we have to ask ourselves, which are we? Do we believe or do we not? And if we do believe, what does it really mean? And so often, and to be really blunt, which I have been on occasion, so I know you'll be surprised. Something happened where church became a place where you got your needs met, as opposed to a gathering of God's faithful people to prepare themselves to work in a vineyard. Here's how you'll know. Has anybody ever heard the word or the phrase church shopping? Do you know people say that like it's a good thing? we're kind of shopping for a church. Like, that was an insult when it was first said, by the way. What it meant was that you can't get your feet on the ground and get back to work in the vineyard. You're just wandering one place to the next. I highly offended somebody several years ago when I saw them and I said, so what church are you going to now? I was curious. They were offended. And honestly, maybe they should have been. Here's the reality. The vineyard is a mess. The church that's sent to work in the vineyard is a mess. So pick one close. At the very least. Yeah, pick one. Everybody wants to pick the one that does it just this way or does it just that way or treats them this particular way. It's like, just be the church, brothers and sisters. There's so much work to be done, and we're so busy trying to figure out ways to not get into it because it's overwhelming. Amen? I mean, we're all overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed when I look at the world. I try not to watch the news, honestly. I got to follow it to some degree. If nothing else, it certainly reminds me to pray. But it's overwhelming. So let's just do this. Take a deep breath. We're not going to do, you know, the stuff we did last week. Anybody here overwhelmed by what they see in the world? Me too. Anybody want somebody else to fix it? Me too. But you know what? It's our job. If we proclaim to believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we are saying yes to the call to work in the vineyard. If we just say yes and do not go to work, we are not doing the will of the Father. If we proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we are hesitant because it's overwhelming, and we have initially said no, it's time to get to work in the vineyard. No one in their right mind would look at this job and say, I want it. None of us wanted the job. When I work with people who are discerning a call to ordain ministry, if they go, oh, you know, I really want to be ordained, I'm like, no. There were times when I was in seminary, especially our parish life sort of classes. I'm trying to remember what we called it, but either way, we'd sit in there and we'd be told stories about what it was like to work in the parish and all the intricacies of all that. And we'd come out of the class and look at each other and go, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And the fact of the matter is, there is only one reason. We believed that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And then in that belief, when the Lord's called to us and said, will you go to work in the vineyard? We said, no. And then we went to work. So if you said no, that's fine. I said no a lot. I occasionally still say no. And then I go anyway. Just like at our house, it makes me smile. Could you do this for me? No. It even carries into the office. Somebody will start to say something. I just automatically say, no. I have a question for you. No. It reminds me of this reading. I'm saying it, but I know I'm going to do it anyway. I know I'm going to drag myself out and go do whatever it is God's called me to do, no matter what time of day or night it is, because I've said, I believe. So this day, let's just give each other a little break and say, the vineyard is a mess. Myself and the other people that God is sending to work in this vineyard, we're kind of a mess too. The question is, do you believe? And if you say yes, then let's get to work. Do it in big ways, do it in little ways, I don't care. Avoid an argument on Facebook on politics. Encourage someone privately to say, I understand you have your opinions, but you're just spewing hate, and I know that's not who you are. There's a reason many of you have asked me to be your friend on Facebook, and I never became your friend, because I don't deal with Facebook. I didn't take the page away 4 years ago, plus when I quit looking at it. But now I have to look at it because half the church runs off of it. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I should go back to Facebook and reconnect with people. And then I start reading the things, and thankfully, no one here, because I never become your friend. And I see the things that are showing up on Facebook and in social media and on the news, and I think there is so much hate. And I'm overwhelmed. And I'm heartbroken. And I don't want to deal with it. And then I remember that I believe in the love of God will always overcome hate. But for that to happen, those of us who have said that we will work in vineyard have to be overcome by His love. The world will hear, the world will sense, and the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will know this is real when it is real to us, and the way that we move and live our lives reflect this truth. God so loved the world. Even the Episcopalians know it, don't they? That He gave His only Son. We believe in that depth of love. Amen? So this day, let it not be about the unbelief, but the belief. And even when it's hard, and even when we're challenged by it, we have to trust that God dwelling in us by the power of His Holy Spirit will overcome whatever is in front of us when we believe. I know it's true, and so do you. But we still say it's overwhelming. If the darkness is overwhelming, bring the light. If the church could gather together for that purpose and that understanding that we are here to find the strength to do that, the light will shine much brighter. If we're hunting for the church because the church needs to give me something, quit looking for the church and start looking for God. Because the funny thing about the church is it's as big a mess as the vineyard. So many people want to build a relationship with a church. The call is to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with the church will always fail. Amen? It will. Someone in the church is going to offend you. Someone in the church is going to step on your toes. Some preacher is going to say something you don't want to hear. They're not going to call when you expected them to call. Whatever it might be, there's a thousand reasons the church might make you feel like you don't belong, because we're so worried about finding the church so that we can build a relationship with it. And that is just the outcome, brothers and sisters. The church exists because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Build that relationship and get in the vineyard. Our opportunity is incredible right now. It's so dark, we can accidentally show light. Amen? So let's get out there and show some light so the fruit starts to shine through and we can watch the evil fade. Amen? Amen.